Hi, I'm Joss Whedon, and you're watching The Action Room because you have nothing better to do. Go out. The sun is shining. Live your life.
Culture Radio.
What's up with Tony? Tony, what's up?
Yeah? What?
Tony, you are so not yourself. What's going on? When did you start growing that beard?
What do you mean? Is something weird about the beard? You don't like the beard?
Do you want to do the show today? Or you can go home if you want.
There's a show? What?
You know you got some crust going on in that.
Are you trying? I heard you're starting a hip hop career.
Just because I have like birds growing on my beard doesn't mean anything.
All right, Tony. Come on,
oh
Tony.
Oh my God! Hold on. Oh, I just woke up. I had a strangest dream that I was Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh.
Oh my God! Thank God you guys. It was like sleepwalking.
Who's what take the fuck? Now? Who actually thinks that was like for real? Like I you know more about this documentary, Jessica, but I think he's totally doing an Andy Kaufman and this is vintage Letterman. I'm really excited to see Letterman.
Well, you're talking about the way he was making fun of him.
See, that's what I remember. I remember Letterman at 12:30, on NBC, making fun of all the guests. He got a little, you know, kind of commercialized and Leno-ized at the 11:30, and I think now he's back. And he's been doing this to, you know, different guests.
He needs a guest to taunt him and to, like, force him to push his buttons, because everyone's just there to, like, promote and
tell wacky stories.
And Joaquin was definitely not giving a shit about his movie. He couldn't even remember the name of the actresses.
I mean, I got the impression that he didn't even know what movie he was promoting. Like, that they would
I
let him
still
include,
don't.
Talk
what
about
movie
anything.
Is he doing?
I know. It's something with Gwyneth Paltrow.
It's actually so tiny. It's barely been promoted, and it's playing at the Landmark Sunshine Theater in New York City.
What's it called?
I don't even fucking know. Two Lovers.
Yeah,
I saw
right.
a trailer.
It looks cool.
But Jessica, you were talking about this documentary,
okay,
which we
so,
hadn't heard about.
So basically, Casey Affleck, brother of Ben Affleck, like, is somehow related to Joaquin. I think he's...
No. He's Ben... Ben Affleck's...
Ben Affleck's brother, Casey Affleck.
There's a relation.
Oh, there's a relation?
A relation to Joaquin. I think he's married to his sister. Or vice versa. So they're related. They're also, like, good friends. And Casey is making this documentary.
It's all about the brothers of the famous one.
So he's making this documentary about Joaquin's switch over to a hip-hop career.
Wow.
But it seems like a big freaking joke, you know?
Well, even when Joaquin first announced this, remember there was that video where he was like, it's no joke, man, it's over. And he, like, put his fist forward and he had, like, things written on his fist.
And then recently a video was leaked of him, like, doing a small performance in Vegas and, like, a hip-hop. And everyone was, like, laughing. Like, it was equally as, like, subdued and awkward.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I say that he's doing...
You think it's a bit.
He's doing it definitely in Andy Kaufman. I don't know if he's doing it as well as Andy Kaufman would have done it. Also, I don't know if... But I think people are falling for it.
What if he's really...
I think it's freaking... hilarious. And
what if it's a little real, though, and he really is like a recluse who just doesn't give a fuck?
You know why I don't think it's real? Because two things. One, he was laughing at
he
times,
did laugh a
you know?
Little bit. Yeah.
I think if he kept it straight completely, it would have been really for real. You know what I mean? The other thing is, I don't know if you noticed, at the end of the interview, he kind of takes off his sunglasses and he kind of like relates to Letterman. As
no,
if
he
he's
did
not.
He actually
Dude, at
he
the
never
very
took
end,
his sunglasses
at the
off.
Very end.
Well, here's the other thing, though.
He takes them off and he shakes Letterman's hand.
Check it out on the YouTube or the CBS clips. But also, when, you know, we learn many things in show business, and you also learn that all interviews on shows like this are pre-screened. They talk about what they're going to talk about. So my big question is, what was the pre-show talk for that? Like, I'm just going to act like a crazy person? Or is he so famous that there's no pre-screen talk done, and it's just like, Joaquin's coming in, and we hope he's not drunk.
Maybe they did do a pre-screen, it was super awkward, and they were like, this is fucking hilarious.
The other thing, like, if you remember, like, Crispin Glover, when he was on, he was the guy
he's
who...
he's a whack job,
but he
always
almost kicked Letterman in the face.
Yes,
this was on
yes.
the old ones, and then Andy Kaufman, when he was on, he got slapped by a wrestler.
Yes,
And these were things that Letterman did not know were real or not.
Barrymore flashing her...
Yeah, all those things are spontaneous. This one I don't think was spontaneous. I still think it was a hysterical, but I don't think it was spontaneous.
I think he can probably... I think, A, he's a weird dude, number one. Like, all around.
He's definitely a weird dude.
He's got the gene. His family's all pretty nuts, though.
Yeah, they were all like... Yeah. What were they? They were kind of like from some cult.
They lived in like a hippie commune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was weird. Like, they had sex with the kids and stuff like that. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. River Phoenix, they were part of like the family, those weird ones.
I
gotta
do my research. I don't know.
I think they all grew up in trees like Wookiees. And that's why he looks like a Wookiee now with the beard.
Speaking of Wookiees.
What a segue. Woo! All right, so speaking of Wookiees fans, we saw some very tall Wookiees on stilts at the 4th annual New York City 2009 Comic-Con!
Man, that was like the first, I think there were more stilted costumers than normal.
Stilts was a big, it's like in fashion world, you know, things come out of Milan, Italy. This year, stilts.
Stilts are in.
In the geek world, about stilts.
Stilts are the new black.
Wookiee is the new black.
Yeah, no, but the whole thing, I thought it was totally fun. Now, after the break, we'll be talking to someone who helped us out, Esther Koo. She's a comedian from Last Comic Standing and Stern, and she was hysterical. And
we
her
had,
and Jessica did some interviews with the nerds, as we always do it.
And it was fantastic. It was a great,
so
fun weekend.
So, taking a break, come back, because we're going to share all our crazy stories.
And Esther will be in.
All right, we'll be back at you.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
All right, folks, we're back in the action room. I'm Tony Wolf.
And I'm Jessica.
And we're talking about the Comic-Con, which we took in with the help of our very special guest correspondent, Esther Koo.
Woo-hoo.
Who is here with us in the studio.
Yeah, we got her right here, guys.
Woo! Esther from Last Comic Standing and also from The Howard Stern Show helped us out with Jessica interviewing and doing lots of crazy antics at the con. And we've got a clip up on YouTube.
Well, hold on. Say hi, Esther.
Hi, Esther.
Thanks for having me. Yeah,
cool.
Definitely.
Oh,
thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, like you were saying, we have a YouTube.
We have the clip up on YouTube, so check it out. It's called Jessica and Esther at the Comic-Con, appropriately enough. And
so what did you think of the Comic-Con, Esther?
Oh, it's my first Comic-Con. I thought it was so fun. I didn't want to leave. It's exhausting walking around that place, though.
Definitely.
The Javits Center. I've been there for a pen conference when I used to sell pens.
You got to tell us about that.
Yeah,
were the people just as crazy?
But in a way, that's geekier than comic fans.
Yeah, really. You know? That's very specific.
It is. I've been surrounded by geeks my whole life, so I felt right at home at Comic-Con. It was fun. Right.
Were you raised into a geek family, kind of sorts?
Yeah, kind of.
What were they into?
I mean,
what
they're Asian, right? Asians are
just
like...
Just by nature.
Oh, look at my laugh. My laugh blocked out all the black on your monitor.
They demanded that you study hard or something? Or?
Yeah, what did
well,
they...
being a geek is way better than being a nerd. A nerd has no redeeming qualities.
Right.
A nerd is just smart, you know?
I've always wanted to talk about
or
this.
Awkward.
The distinction between geek, nerd, and dork.
But geeks are so cool. I mean, geeks are like in right now, you
know?
Mm-hmm.
They are.
Like,
definitely.
Like, geek culture is...
Technology.
Know,
we love you, geek fans.
Right, technology. If you don't know about technology and like the newest products, you know, coming out.
So you
out.
Say nerd is no redeeming.
Well,
geek is cool.
Nobody wants to like go out with a nerd, but a geek, hey, he's kind
right.
of
And nerds are more
know?
Like socially awkward. Geeks
right.
aren't necessarily
socially awkward in a bad way.
Yeah.
Like,
what about dork, the third in the triumvirate?
Dork?
Dork, they're not smart and they're socially awkward.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, dorks
they're
are not
like,
smart.
I would almost
definitely
say
geek is
dork,
the best.
Dork is not even part of that world. I mean, because
I thought dork was like the cool affectionate term for like a geek that you
that,
enjoy,
that might be
you
like
that,
you
yeah.
punch
yeah.
him
like
in the shoulder.
Yeah,
dork. Let's make out.
You could graduate from a dork to a geek. You know, I think.
Okay.
What do you think?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
so. Where was the geekiness?
It's not the caste system. I mean, you can move around.
Or is it possible to actually be all three? I don't think so.
You could be a geek about some things, but a nerd about other things.
Yeah, a geeky nerd with a dork. Sorry.
But where was the geekiness in your family? What
in
was
my
the
family?
You said there was a geek family.
The geekiness in my family. I don't know. I mean, just everything we did. Like we had a whole government in our household. You know, there's five
Whoa.
Kids, so
wow.
like we
wow.
had to create
oh,
like
wow.
systems of how we're going to divide, not family meetings, but like whenever somebody went to the grocery store, when they got home, we had to like create a system to divide up the food because some people would eat the food faster than others, you know? And my brothers would like hog all the Pop-Tarts, but we were like, we got to create a system here for how we're going to equally divide up
that
the food,
sense.
You know?
It all comes down to Pop-Tarts.
And were they all like kind of funny or the humor came out of that, I guess?
Yeah, I kind of made them be funny. Like if they didn't laugh at my jokes, I would like run and like tickle them and I'd be like, you're going to laugh at my jokes!
I wish I could
do that to my audiences now.
Comedian's dream. Are they
have you ever tried that?
Also, or no?
No.
But that's a good idea.
That would be cool. Like if an
what?
Audience
if
member doesn't laugh, you just jump down into
like
the audience
and
start
and be like,
you could get away with it. Just assault them.
You're right. I should.
Yeah.
I like breaking
yeah.
the barrier between like the stage and like the
right.
audience. So that'd be cool.
Well, yeah. I wanted to ask you. Like now, you're a comic. Now, how long have you been a comic? And how long have you been a comic in New York and doing the whole club scene? And
I started in Boston when I used to during my pen selling days. I used to drive around this Sharpie car. I used to have a Beetle.
Did it say Sharpie?
It said
side?
Like see the future with like the liquid Sharpie on it. Back when back when the liquid Sharpie was like big in its day, because the whole selling point.
Old school.
You know, in the early 2000s.
Right. That's a long time ago.
So you could like see the ink in, and you could see when your Sharpie's about to run out.
Oh, that's cool.
And so that's the car. And sometimes I wouldn't have money for like a toll, and I would drive to the tolls, and I'd be like. Bargaining with a toll person and be like, I'll give you a Sharpie, it's liquid, it's a $2 retail value, please let me go.
Got a 15 PSI.
Wow. So, all right, so you came from Boston, you did the Sharpie thing.
I used to, yep, sell pens in Boston.
Now, that was funny enough, but...
Yeah, it was funny. And then I would just drive around to, like, open mics and go up to Maine, New Hampshire, and do some shows up there. And I moved to New York, like, 2 years ago. So.
Okay.
But comedy was always... something you wanted to get involved in on some level.
Yeah, it was.
And so, okay, so now the New York scene, now we've heard a lot of stuff as far as, like, you know, what it's like in the clubs, and there's a lot of movies kind of based on that. You know, what is it like? Is it kind of very cutthroat? Is it, you know, what's it like to be on stage in front of an audience who's not, you know, ready to laugh? Or do you feel that most audience are wanting
to
laugh?
It's like seducing a woman who's like not giving you anything, you know? It's like you take her out on a date, you know, you try to give her what she wants.
Right.
It's very masculine.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, because the microphone is a kind of a phallic symbol,
right.
And the audience,
you
got to warm them up. They need foreplay, you know? So, like, sometimes backstage, like, at comedy clubs, they'll be like, man, we talk about the audience as if it's, like, a frigid woman. Like, if they're not giving you anything, it's just like, man, this audience is so cold, you know?
Now,
like,
so you don't feel a rejection. You just kind of blame the audience for the
most
part?
No, you don't blame the audience. I mean, you blame yourself. I mean, it depends on who you are. Some people do blame the audience, and
but
you got to just... You know, you just got to get back up.
So as long as you've been at this and as successful as you are, you still bomb on occasion. Like,
yeah, I still bomb.
Yeah.
I mean, bombing's how you learn.
Right.
You know?
Because
you got to look at your failures to see how you can correct yourself.
Mm-hmm. So we filmed a lot of people. We filmed you with, you know, talking to a lot of people and stuff. What was the kind of the most surprising thing about the con, or what did you expect to get from it, and
what stands out for you?
What stands out? I was like, why is this import car model girl here? The Asian girl with the We were walking around. Mike and I were walking around looking for, like, let's get a porn star. And like,
to feel up, basically.
Right,
we wanted
basically
you to
feel, that
no.
was your mission.
We wanted to get footage of me,
grabbing
somebody's
some
boobs.
Yeah.
We
couldn't actually find anybody with
there
big enough boobs to grab.
Eventually, you did, though, which caused quite an uproar.
Wait, who?
We did.
His chick.
Star.
That girl.
Oh, yeah, but her boobs weren't that big. But, I mean...
Yeah, but she was dressed like
a
hoot.
A mutual feel-up.
Right.
No, yeah, and the crowd... that was the thing. Every time we did something, based on your celebrity and the types of things we were doing, we would constantly have crowds around us, which was
a good
thing.
But that was the biggest...
Yeah, yeah. That was good.
Now, that woman was... What was her deal? She was a porn star?
Jasmine?
She's not a porn star.
Jasmine?
She's just
import
like a
model.
I'm just deciding she's a porn star right here.
They're all whores, right?
If the price
she's
is right.
She's like a porn star, but maybe she's never gotten paid to be on camera to have sex.
Okay.
But
that
no. And so she didn't mind when I grabbed her boob, but and she also grabbed mine, but that, there was this guy on stage in like a little Speedo, and I lunged over to grab his package, and he got all shy and like
superhero
he
guy,
got
right?
offended. Yeah. He was like, "You can't do that," and kick me off the stage.
The one big thing I just wanted to comment on is that I had to get an ID from Joss Whedon. Do you know who that is at all? He's the
guy
who created Buffy the Vampire Slayer and stuff. And now he just came out with Dollhouse, which is that, who's in it?
Eliza Dushku.
Dushku.
He said Dush like push Dush, or
push. It's like push. Dushku.
Ah, fuck her.
I mean, the show is horrible. I don't know.
Does that have anything to do with Welcome to the Dollhouse?
No.
That would be great. Not Todd Solondz should do a sitcom.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So that's unrelated.
No, it's totally unrelated. It's something about... explain the premise real quick.
It's there's like six girls run by a shadowy, rich billionaire agency, and they're programmed, their memories get wiped, and you can program them to be anything you want. But they're not always like whores. They're like, you know, I need like a negotiation specialist, or I need a super scientist, or I need a spy. It's like espionage-y.
Every episode, they're completely different characters.
Right. And I think it's a horrible show. But the thing was that Joss Whedon, who I'm not a huge fan of, just based on not being into Buffy and stuff.
But I'm a fan of his. Buffy and Firefly was also a show, that movie Serenity.
So to a lot of people, this was considered like his first failure. Although it's still on the air. It might do well, but you know.
But he's Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
You know.
We needed to get an ID. So this is kind of just an unrelated story. Sorry, Esther.
It's this enormous theater. It's the biggest one at the convention.
I hadn't been doing IDs for a while. I ran up to get him to get an ID from him. Initially, the security guards pulled me away and said, "No way." They just kind of threw me, you know, in the opposite direction.
Didn't they like, get him? Get that guy!
They were like, "Stop, Mike!" You know, "Stop him, Mike!" Which was I thought they were talking to me, but they were talking to another security guard. And basically, but in a split second instant, I was like, "Why the fuck not?" And I just did a whole kind of football around him kind of move.
Right. They spun you around, and you continued.
I just
to
kept
spin
going
back to him,
and I went to Joss Whedon. And basically, the secret to IDs is that once you have, you know, the celebrity in your sight, and you just say his name. And if they acknowledge you and you say, turn around, they will, you know, entertain you with some kind of an ID. And then suddenly everybody thinks you're part of something and they're not sure now whether they should, you know, arrest you or whatever. So we got an ID
that was very businesslike. He was nice. He was friendly. He did it.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah. You know? No, he was very cool. And it was, you know, it's at the head of the show. You heard it. And the girl from Chuck, we tried to get, the English hot girl who...
She was surrounded
by just wasn't having
eight bodyguards.
She didn't... She wasn't allowed to be around nerds, I think, for too long. So, but anyway, back to Esther.
But nerds, I mean, but they're so nice, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
like,
no,
they're
totally
not going to, like, try and touch you.
It's true.
I don't know. They can be creepy stalkery.
They can be
creepy over email.
Right.
Right? But, like, in person, they just look at you and they're just kind of scared of you. So.
I don't know if y'all heard about this, but I was scoping the trashy websites today. And that chick who won the Olympics gymnastics was on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, okay.
What's her name? Something Johnson.
Sean Johnson.
She is on Dancing with the Stars, and she had this, like, stalker guy keep, like, approaching her, and then... When
they got
in his car,
wow,
he had
really?
Two guns loaded with, like, hate
way.
Mail and
yeah.
all this shit that he was going to, like, try and kill her.
That's fucked up. Wow.
Yeah,
so,
scary.
Watch out.
Now, were the pen geeks, like, touchy, weird, annoying?
Well, what I wanted to ask you is, with comedy, like, what are the comedy fans and geeks? You know, the comedy are there comedy stalkers? Are there guys that are always kind of,
comedy groupies?
Like, you know, after you?
There are.
Yeah.
There's geeks for every medium, I guess.
You know, it's interesting, but for a lot of male comedians, they'll go on stage and the girls will look at them, and they're just drunk and high and they're laughing.
Right.
And so they'll be like, they want to sleep with the comedian after the
immediately.
Show.
Right.
Yeah, and these comedians, you know, in a normal setting, outside of a comedy club, they're nobodies. You know, they're unattractive. Okay, they're funny, but nobody knows who they are.
Yeah.
In a comedy club, they're superstars, right?
Right.
So, like, I see guys take, you know, comedians take girls home all the time.
Really?
Whereas for female comedians, it's kind of, you know, I wouldn't.
I can't
sleep with one of my groupies. You know, like if somebody shows up in one of my t-shirts, it's like, I'm such a big fan. You know, like,
you're like,
I'm not gonna
pat on the head.
I'm like, thanks for coming and buying two drinks.
It's so different
though
for a female comedian.
It
like,
is.
So I mean, what? But even with the male ones, like, is the type of comedian that, you know, I mean, the type of groupie and stuff, the girl and stuff. What is she like? Is she actually good looking, or is she kind of like? Is there a typical comedian, stand-up, groupie, nerd, girl?
Oh, for the guys?
For the guys.
To take home a girl?
Yeah.
The girls, I don't know, they're just drunk girls. They just want to, like, they just want to have a story to tell their friends.
Yeah.
Right,
oh, it's at this comedy club, and then this famous guy was on stage, and I gave him a blowjob in the bathroom, you know? Like, they just want a story.
And then what about the guys? Have you ever had, like, a really kind of crazy, obsessive kind of fan?
You know what? I've had ex-boyfriends show up to a comedy show and try to, like, get back to me, like, yo, baby, whatever happened? I'm like, I'm like, you're old news. Sorry, buddy. You know? Like,
wow. And then do a lot of them make it into your act? I mean, just as far as like boyfriends and...
Yeah, they do.
What are your major themes that you talk about?
I talk about dating and my family, and I make fun of people in the audience. But like, they do make it into my act. But I mean, it'll be loosely based on some guy that I dated, you know?
Yeah. And what about... part of your jokes and stuff are about, like, you know, Asian guys versus, you know, dating other types of races and stuff like that. How do you actually feel about that, you know, or is it just a joke, or how do you...
about dating Asian guys?
Yeah.
I feel like Asian guys are, like, scared of me.
Really?
Because I'm so loud
and, like...
They're not
non-Asian.
And at this point, white guys are scared of you, too, probably, because they only date Asian girls.
Do you think white guys are scared of
me? No, I don't know. I think guys in general are probably a little bit intimidated by kind of a stand-up girl who's confident. Like you said, it's like being a man on
stage.
They are
intimidated. Yeah. One time, this guy, I went out with this guy, and he's like, I was worried I wasn't going to be funny enough for you. And I'm like, don't worry, your cockpit's just fine.
That's some funny shit, people.
I don't know where to go, but
it's cool. Like, I like having that effect on, you know, like, nothing's like more fun than like,
well, it
going
makes
back
them work
to, like,
for it too.
Yeah, like, and it makes you feel like you're in junior high again. Like, you know, like, I'm the popular girl and some guy's like all nervous to talk to me.
Right,
like, that's cute, you know. I like that.
I think that is true, though. I mean, you are smart, you know. You're being a comedian, you have to, like, really, you know, hone in on kind of what's funny in the world, you know, and that's an intelligence there. So do you find that you do need to be with someone who you think maybe is more funny than you, or kind of the same?
You know what?
Yeah, have you dated other comedians?
No, I have not dated other comedians.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I don't want to, like, you know, you all work together, so I don't want it to ever be weird when I walk in a comedy club, like, shit, that guy is there, you know, like, that I slept with, you know, so I mean,
but as far as guys being funnier, do you care? Or
you know, my boyfriend in college, actually, the only fight we ever got into was about who's funnier, and I was always like, I'm the funny one in this relationship, and he'd be like, baby, I could be funny, too, and I'm like, no, I'm funnier than you, and I'm like, you only repeat things from The Simpsons, and you repeat, like, Homer Simpson quotes, but I create
original
comedic material, and then like,
yeah, I mean,
and
like,
you just shut up at that
always,
point.
Like, got
like,
in a fight about that.
I would think like some guys like, or girls like to be kind of dominated in a certain sense. Do you like a guy who is funnier, who kind of like, you know, oh, you're impressed by that? Like,
right. Yeah, I like a guy who's funny. I like a guy who's not afraid to make me laugh. You know,
because
like I've had guys. I've gone out with guys who are like embarrassed by like my loud laugh, and then we'll go out to a restaurant, and he'll be like, oh, can you try not to laugh so loud?
Oh,
and I'm like, you know how many guys like would like to have, you know, a girl who like is
fun
easy to
and
make
laugh,
laugh, you
definitely,
know? Because if you can make a girl laugh, then like it means that, you know, you could probably get in her pants.
I don't know what you think.
Loosen her up a little.
I don't know how you feel, Tony, but I mean, I think having a good audience is part of having a good girlfriend, like somebody who laughs at all your bad jokes.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of laughs, that's a good question as far as your laugh, you know. It's obviously very unique, I guess. So I was wondering, do you think it's possible to change your laugh? Like, do you think it's possible for someone to be able... I think that's one thing you can't do. Like, someone can't do is change their laugh. Because we have friends,
laugh.
You know... That everybody kind of, somebody has,
you know,
a weird laugh.
My friend,
I know I can't change my laugh. I have a friend who is really like you. He very loud, you know, and I don't think he could change if he wanted to. It's,
probably not.
It's
yeah.
very involuntary. You know?
It's so involuntary. And I think when you're really, truly laughing,
well,
like,
you snort,
it just goes,
right?
Well, everyone snorts a little bit. Come
sometimes.
On.
Yeah. That's actually developed. Like, I didn't used to do that. But I have a definite, like, fake laugh and
real laugh.
So
well,
I could probably change my fake conscious laugh.
Well, I go, you know, sometimes, you know. But, and that's, I think, developed, but I can't get rid of it now. So do you have a fake laugh? Because we know your real laugh. So do you have, like, a fake version of that? Or...
Yeah, I can do impressions of my laugh, which would be fake laughs, right?
Right.
But, I mean, I don't think it's possible to... I mean, my friends say that when they hang out with me, they start laughing like me.
Right,
you
right,
know,
because
right, it's liberating to be able to express yourself and to just make noise.
Yeah.
You
no,
know?
It's a very natural, real thing when somebody laughs. You know?
So a lot of my girlfriends say, when I hang out with you, like, I go home and my boyfriend complains and I start laughing like you, you know? Like, I just, like, let loose, you know, if something funny is happening, then I'm just like, ha-ha, you know?
Right. That's cool.
I was somewhere recently for
this casting thing, and this casting guy made some joke, and I just laughed, like my sort of natural. I was like, he was very loud, and he kind of. I saw him look at me peripherally, kind of like, whoa, that was really like maybe he thought it was too much, or, and I was like, no, that was real.
So, well, anyway, I mean, I don't know. We can wrap it up, I guess. Like, basically, just thank you so much, Esther, for doing this for us.
Your very first Comic-Con.
Oh, thank you. It was fun. I had a blast.
The big one is in San Diego, so, you know, maybe if you're ever there, you know, you can experience that. I don't know if we'll be going out there, but, you know, if you do you actually tour much, or what's your situation?
Yeah, I'm going out to California and... In April.
Oh, okay.
When is the one in San Diego?
I think it's July, actually.
July,
so,
I think, yeah.
But, yeah, tell us about, like, what is your tour? What's your next gig? Tell us all about that.
Yeah, what do you
What do you want to plug? Your website?
My website, funnycoo.com. Oh, at Comic-Con, I met this comic book illustrator, Dennis Calero.
I know that name. Why do I know that name?
He works for Marvel and DC Comics.
Yeah,
he does
The
X-Men.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So he's actually writing, we're creating a comic strip of me based on me when I was a kid.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Wow. That's cool. And you're writing it or what? Or he's writing it with you?
Well,
or?
We're actually going to do a podcast and we're going to, I just tell him stories about me as a kid and like all the adventures of the coos in the coo house, you know, because there's five kids. So it was just insane.
Are any of the others entertainers, by the way? No. Are you the only entertainer?
No.
The one?
I have my brother's a philosophy teacher.
Okay. Careers of the coos.
My brother's a cop. My sister's in college studying biology, and my other brother's unemployed.
Okay.
The only real Asian, the girl.
But yeah, so we're making a comic strip called Coos Blues.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's gonna be really, really funny.
I'm sorry.
Coos Blues.
Because it's like, oh no, what's Blue's Clues is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, but maybe we should think
it's
of a different
title. It's an inversion.
Because, I mean, you've heard of that, right?
Blue's Clues.
Yeah, because I thought that's what you were, playing with the name of. But Coos Blues is the reverse.
It's both.
So
It's funny intrinsically, and it's this inversion of...
And so okay, you do the stories on the podcast, but he's going to illustrate them, or...
Yep, I tell him stories about me as a kid, and then he's going to make a comic strip, and we're going to post it on his and my website.
That's
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's
DennisCalero.com.
Okay. Cool.
And funnycoo.com.
And what else do you have coming up as far as performances, gigs?
Tonight I'm at Caroline's. Oh, wait. This is not live.
It's 3.5 weeks from now.
Whenever you're listening to this, come to Caroline's.
I may or may not be there.
Yeah, do you have like a place that you're always at usually? Like,
you know what? I'm just all over the place. Is this on the website?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess just check my website. I'm touring with Donnell Rawlings, Ashley Larry from the Chappelle Show.
Oh, okay.
So I open for him a lot on the road, and we go on tour.
That's awesome. So. Now, who do you like? Who is your influences, comedy wise?
Comedy wise, you know what? I always read books. I never really watched a lot of TV growing
up.
So you know, like a lot of comedians are like, oh, I watched Richard Pryor when I was a kid. I'm just starting to watch those DVDs now and stuff. But when I was a kid, I guess Amelia Bedelia is this character.
Yes, I love Amelia Bedelia.
Who's that?
She did everything wrong.
Yeah, she took everything literally.
Yeah.
It's a children's book for, like, second graders.
Okay.
Because my parents, they didn't ever hire a babysitter. We had to go to the library.
No way. That's so funny.
Whenever they went to, like, Bible study meetings, they would, like, drop us off at the library.
Bible study.
What if you would, like, leave the library?
We would never leave. Yeah. We would just play
so
there.
All four of you?
All five of us.
Five
yeah,
of us.
We were at the library.
Wow.
Did the librarians get to know you all? And
no,
like
actually,
the
they eventually put up a sign that said, any children under 18 has to be accompanied by an adult. And I was like, that's totally because of us.
But that is probably, I mean, as irresponsible as it is, the best babysitter that you could have is a
library.
Library,
right?
Because you don't have to pay for anybody, and they get to read.
Right.
That's awesome. It's really smart of them. Them Asians, they're always thinking of them.
Reading, learning. Well, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you. This
and
is fun.
You usually go by Koo, right? I keep wanting to call you Esther.
Yeah, Esther's my government name.
Oh, like taxes and...
Right.
Okay.
On paper.
All right. So Koo was awesome. And Jessica and Koo made a fantastic team.
Yeah.
Check it out online. Give us some love. Put some comments on there.
We'll be back after the break.
We'll be back after the break.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Esther. I mean, Koo.
Thanks.
All right, we're back.
We're back with the Nerd News.
Yes, I know you've all been waiting, and here comes...
Nerd News.
Yeah.
Woo! All right, so Jessica, take us through this week's.
All right, first up, Nerd News. We found out about this 9-year-old from Singapore.
Oh, my God.
Who just wrote an iPhone application called Doodle Kids. All right, this kid is 9.
He's 9.
He's
now what
fluent
is
in like 6, what do you call
languages?
Programming languages.
Yeah, and is he going to be like the new Bill Gates or the new Stephen Hawking? Like, what's his name?
Lim Ding Wen.
Lim Ding Wen.
Which sounds like, what was the one we were...
Long Duck Dong.
Long
guy
Duck
from
Dong.
16 candles.
How racist can we be? And the but being a prodigy from Singapore is kind of like being a citizen of Singapore. They're all prodigies.
All these
those
prodigies.
All...
Where's like the German prodigy? Where's the Swedish prodigy?
I don't know.
I love the fact that...
Don't the Swedish do good at math and computers?
They're good at killing Jews.
They're good at...
Oh, no, that's the German. Sorry.
Oh.
I can't get a freaking word in with
sorry,
this
Jessica,
voice. I love the fact that he made the application for his... younger sisters.
Oh.
I know, he just
cute.
Like did it.
Now,
no big deal.
It's
he's
like
9.
Because they love to draw. Yeah, it's like a you trace with your finger and then you shake it. If you can
shake it in the masturbatory fashion. Probably does. But I just can't imagine, like, what is this kid going to be creating at 11?
Yeah.
I mean,
you
he's 9.
I'm curious.
He's going to own Sony when he's 14.
Pretty much.
You can download this application for free. Mm. So does he make any money off this? Like, does he sell it?
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, how does that work? So does Apple makes no money? I don't understand how the applications work exactly.
Because so many
like,
of them are free.
Know.
Like,
so,
when I was reading about it, you could actually get it for free through your iTunes and, like, do it on...
Yeah, then I don't get it, man. I mean,
what about poor Lim Ding Wen?
I don't know. I think I should be Lim Ding Wen's manager so we can hook up his money situation.
Hopefully we can have him.
And he created the app, and then he went and played with blocks.
Yeah, right?
And then
so
it's
weird.
Snack time.
And then he took a nap.
And then recess.
And then he took over Panasonic.
Okay, right. Next up. Actually, Tony, you're going to fill us in, but we've got a new...
The headline was...
Lesbian Batwoman is DC Comics' first gay superhero.
Yeah, now this is just, let me tell you something, 2012 Pete isn't here to tell you how the media twists everything and corrupts our brains, but this is an old story. It's kind of like when something goes up on those movie news sites that's a year old, but they're touting it as real news. Okay, so there's a gay superhero, she is lesbian, called Batwoman. All right, there was an old like 1930s character called Batwoman. They've decided to bring back the name with a new character.
Oh, so this isn't Batwoman.
It is Batwoman.
Oh, it is Batwoman. But
so
then
it's not.
Was Batwoman always gay?
No, but a year ago they.
She does like pussies.
Oh, and bats.
Wow. What? Yeah, yeah. I think
that
you're thinking of Catwoman.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But they introduced her a year ago.
Yeah.
Okay. She's gay and she's a super hot,
but
sexy
redhead.
She's a lipstick lesbian.
But hold
butch.
On. They had Batwoman before and she wasn't lesbian?
In the 1930s. You know, there were no gay characters in the 1930s.
I'm so confused.
I can't somebody,
there was a character named Batwoman in the 1930s.
There was never a Batwoman like in comics in the 80s and the 90s and
there
stuff?
Has
no.
To be.
Really?
No.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's Batgirl, but not Batwoman.
Oh, so you have to explain that. I had no idea.
Well,
okay, so there's a Batgirl.
I thought you'd know as a former comics person.
I have no idea. Okay.
Anyway, so she came out about a year ago. Came out, get it? And anyway, she debuted. She got media coverage then. The New York Times, other places covered it.
Mm.
But then the gossip is that DC's corporate suits and Warner Brothers executives were terrified of continuing to publicize a famous gay Batman character.
So I heard
as a leading character. So they scaled back. They were afraid. She was supposed to get her own series.
Mm.
6 issues were written and drawn and unpublished because they were afraid to publish them. Now she sort of is being... They're sort of launching her again, and now all the media attention's coming back again, but they seem still to be afraid
of
doing more with her.
I think she's not going to succeed in the comic book storylines. I think she'll be good as a superhero talk show host, because that's where all the lesbians go, you know. Ellen, Rosie,
right.
Now Batwoman.
Aww. She'll have Batwoman on as a guest.
They need to get those 6 issues published.
Well, you know what's weird?
The GLBT needs to get on that.
She was slated to get her own title called Batwoman, and then they were afraid. Now they're putting out 1 or 2 issues as issues of the regular Batman comic.
Okay.
Without Batman really in them very much.
Well, I'm psyched.
It's a
I don't
weird
know.
Way to like.
I would think this would be like a mass success in the nerd world.
I think with Obama in presidency, we need a freaking gay superhero.
Gay Batman. All right. So
all right.
Anyway.
Next up, we got Marvel Motion Comics. This is something we've actually been talking about.
Yeah.
This is another iPhone application.
And last week we had the guy who does the Sparks motion comic and stuff like that. So I mean, I personally felt this was going to get bigger. Tony wasn't too sure about it. I think I'm proving myself correct.
I think he's actually just trolling the internet to find anything he possibly can to prove you wrong.
I really love it, even though I say I hate it. So Marvel, this is a big PR move for Marvel. Brian Michael Bendis is one of their main writers, and Alex Maleev is one of their hit artists. They've resuscitated a character called Spider-Woman, who also was around for a while, but no one did anything with
her. Lesbian.
Not lesbian,
aww.
Right. And they're
although we hope there's a crossover with Spider-Woman and
Batwoman. And then
maybe,
Wonder Woman.
Maybe Batwoman can convert. And we all
can we get the pussy lady in there somewhere?
As a Catwoman. We already know Wonder Woman has to be bi, at least, right?
Why?
Well, she's an Amazon. She lives on a planet that's all women. I mean,
a planet?
Whatever it is. Right. What is it?
Wow.
What is it?
You have no more geek credentials.
But anyway,
what is it?
She's on an island.
Is it on Earth?
It's an island in the ocean.
But in
on Earth.
Oh, yes. Okay,
good. So anyway, they're launching a very eagerly anticipated comic book series. They're launching it as a motion comic first.
Wow.
It'll be on their website, and then a week later you can buy the printed version. I'll be buying the printed version, because I don't know that I'm going to watch a freaking movie.
But do you...
P.S., I don't really think it's a motion comic, though, because the characters aren't really moving. It's just, like, on your iPhone, I thought.
Well, this is going to be on their website as well, this Marvel thing.
But the one on the iPhone is going to be moving, though, too, right?
They're calling it a motion comic,
right.
But I think that's just because you can, like...
Move it around?
Move it on your
But I think
screen.
Some of these
no,
are
they'll have, like, little pans and very simple, very retarded animation.
Right, right.
Limited.
Well, like, okay. do you recant your negative...
Not really.
I'm against you. I think that this is pretty
I'm
cool.
I'm against you, Tony.
Put him up. No, but you know what? What is true is if this is, as Mike has said, Producer Mike, if this is a gateway to get some people into comics or it gets little kids into it,
sorry.
It's a gateway drug.
A gateway.
Sorry.
A gateway, yeah.
So anyway, and there's also some other comics that are being made for the iPhone with no motion whatsoever.
Right.
You just view them panel by panel on your iPhone.
Yeah, that's what I thought that looked like.
No,
well,
they're actually having like voiceover
things.
Actors, yeah, for the Marvel stuff.
Okay. So I think just reading them on the phone is pretty cool. You can take it
that's
with
what
you.
I
you
think.
Don't get them like crumpled.
Because I do remember them trying to do
it. I like to crumple.
You don't like to keep them in mint condition?
I like a physical... yeah, I'm not even into that in mint condition anymore.
When they have disposable iPhones, then you can just throw them away.
All right, moving on. Right. Next up, we've got a director slated for the new remake of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Now,
did I just say new remake?
Well, it's sort of it is a new remake.
It is, yeah.
It's the only new remake.
Is that a redundant
yeah. Well, Producer Mike, you're the big horror fan here.
Right.
So how do you feel about a remake?
You know,
there were four Nightmare on Elm Street movies?
I think there were more than that, like six or something. But the thing is, it's like they got really cheesy. Obviously, cheesy movies don't work nowadays, so it's going to be
very
realistic.
They were always cheesy, right? That was the...
But not the first one. The first one was kind of...
It just got campier.
Yeah, yeah. The first one was kind of, you didn't see him really. He didn't do the one-liner things all the time, I think.
So is this going to be like a remake of the very original...
You know what? I don't even know, but I assume so. You know, and the Samuel Bayer,
that's
who's a video game director,
music
video director. Now, the scariest thing is he did the Smells Like Teen Spirit and the Blind
video.
Melon video.
Down.
Oh, should we play? Let's play. Okay. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Alright, now the scariest thing about this is both of those lead singers killed themselves. So
the Blind Melon singer
and Kurt Cobain. So we hope that the person who plays Freddy doesn't...
Oh, my God!
You know, kind of like a... what was the Poltergeist curse? Or like...
The Twilight Zone movie.
Okay.
Or a Superman movie.
Superman, yeah. You know, something like that. So...
Nobody audition for Nightmare on Elm Street, or you really will die.
I actually personally think England can come back. I mean, I don't think he's
Robert
too
England.
Old. Yeah, to play... To reprise the role.
I think he's a little old, but...
But, I mean, you think about it. How old... When was the last one? The last one was like, 95
or 96.
Be like,
Freddy says, look out!
I mean, because he's wearing the burnt stuff. Maybe he's an older burnt
guy.
He
doesn't hop around as much.
Although, then again, he probably doesn't age because he's a dream person or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So, yeah. But I'm excited. I'd see it. You know what I mean? That wasn't a series that I really
they
like.
They should just do it in 3D.
Let me.
Yeah,
let me,
which one of them was? The third one was.
What about Coraline in 3D? Anyone?
Ooh, I'm very
excited
for that.
About
I
that.
Tried to see it the other night, and it was fucking sold out.
Oh, I didn't even realize it was already out.
Yeah, shit's
it's
out.
It's gotten like sick reviews.
Yeah. It's the same Nightmare Before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Stop motion animation.
But it's not Tim Burton.
Yes,
right?
It is.
No. Oh, it is.
No.
Yes, it is.
It's not Tim Burton. It's
what?
The guy who animated did the physical stop motion animation, but it's not directed.
Oh, that's why they keep saying the guy who did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the
guy.
I'm
like, yeah, it's Tim Burton. Oh my god,
I know the guy.
Yeah. In fact, I think he's directing it. He was like the camera guy for all the stop motion.
That's why Johnny Depp and what's her Helena Bonham Carter aren't in it.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's gotten great. And Neil Gaiman. Good, it's based though. On a Neil Gaiman book, who's a very successful comic.
What's with
and
the gay? Everything's gay. Okay.
I also want to throw in as a quick P.S. Robert Englund. If any of you remember the 1980s miniseries V, which Robert Englund was they're making a V remake.
Oh, well, then I think Robert Englund should be in that.
He should just be in everything. Robert Englund.
He's
the new
done.
Christian Bale, not in the sense that he yells at people, but he's just supposed to be in everything.
Well, that's the thing. If he's not in any of this stuff, we're going to see a lot of him on talk shows. You know,
you heard it here first in the Action Room. Robert Englund revival.
Yeah. I think we can get him on the show. Yeah. He should be at all the cons next year, so I think we'll definitely get an ID from him. Oh, all right. But anyway, okay, so I think that's it.
You can listen to this episode again and enjoy it over and over on our 24/7 streaming radio
and
network.
And you better get your freaking butts to our MySpace page so you can check out all the crazy video we're going to have up of the Comic-Con. You don't want to miss it.
Yeah,
that's right. It'll also be in our YouTube
and the
site.
YouTube, the YouTube. But yeah, also the MySpace. I guess
and
we'll
also
put it all over.
Call our hotline, the 1-800 number on our main website. We have like 50 million websites. There's YouTube,
you
there's MySpace. That. We're all over. And soon we're going to be on Yahoo News. You just watch.
Okay.
And front page of New York Times. Suck it!
That's right. All right, so thanks, folks.
I'm going to go off and create an app for the iPhone, okay?
The Action
I'm
Room
go
app.
To switch my hip-hop career.
All right, so until next time, Action fans, I'm Tony Wolf.
And I'm Jessica.
I'm Producer Mike.
And we are the Action Room.